Andrew McLaren for Dennis Walter. And what a great pleasure it is to speak to Mark James, who is the CEO of Customology, or Customology. That's better, Andrew. Good evening to you, Mark.
Good evening, Andrew. How are you?
Good. I read your article in the Herald Sun a couple of days back, and I was intrigued by it, and I thought I'd like to explore it a little further. Your research by your group, your focus group, is it? What sort of business is it, actually?
The Customology business is customer lifecycle management business. We've been in operation for over the better part of 6 years. Its purpose is to work with brands to help them keep and grow their customers and ideally keep them for life. Over the years, we've been, through data and a bit of marketing science, analysing and understanding customer behaviour. And there was an element that we wanted to sort of speak to a broader audience about and get their view. So we went out to the Australian public, about 2,500 plus Australians, and asked them some straight questions. We were really quite impressed and thankful for their candour and how they felt about the brands they were participating with and how they felt as being engaged by those brands. And so that sort of obviously helped put that report out to the marketplace.
Yeah, a few shocks, I would imagine, with some of the figures. I'm just quoting here from your article of the other day. 77% of those surveyed believe new customers receive better incentives than loyal customers. 55% don't believe they are rewarded for their loyalty. 63% of customers believe they should be rewarded for referrals. I don't know how that would be possible in some cases. Anyway, and 82% could be tempted by a competitor. It's interesting. What shocked you the most out of those figures, or surprised you the most?
Probably the one that there's been this over the last couple of years, and obviously last year was quite an interesting year to say the very least. But there's been this thing about authenticity and brand trust. And sometimes it's an overused word. Oh, you know, are we authentic? Have we got good brand trust with our customers? Yeah. And we asked the customers a straight question. We said, oh, do you feel the brands are honest with you? And we gave them the option to choose. And 70-odd% said they felt they were lied to by the brands. Now, I just want to make this point up front. I don't think anyone's doing it wrong from a brand perspective. I don't think anyone doesn't like their customers. This wasn't, you know, for us to take a shot at any one particular market segment. We just wanted to understand how the customer felt. When they said that they didn't feel that the brands were honest with them, and I think the term was they felt lied to, I think that's more about a brand trust issue. And that's been fed into some of the other stats, for example, that, you know, customers felt they felt better being a new customer than they felt being a repeat customer. So I think there's a trust issue because the consumer now, the customer now, is more empowered than ever before. I mean, they're a critic. They can two touches on their phone. They can get any information about something. And they also read about whether they want to go somewhere, eat somewhere, or try something. You know, there's so many reviews on the marketplace. So I think that answer your question quite directly about brand trust was the one that probably was a bit of a wake-up call for us to say, wow, this is something. And our mission, I suppose, is to provide this information to feed all brands and say, well, now you know that. What would you do differently? How would you approach your customers differently? And we think there's big opportunities for brands to take a look at that.
Yes, I think so. By the way, if you'd like to join in with this conversation with Mark James from Consumerology, please give us a call, 96900 693 or 131332. If you're listening through the Ace Radio Network, I forgot to welcome a little earlier. Pardon me, guys and gals. 96900 693 or 131332. Talking about brand loyalty. I'll tell you something that kind of bugs me just a little. I subscribe to a service, I won't go into too much detail, that keeps on advertising all these wonderful discount promotions to those who join up for the service, 6 months this and 9 months of that and then whatever. But for the people who've been with that service for 20 years, like I have, there's nothing offered. It's only to get you in. They don't care. Once they got you in, they don't seem to care. And I find that rather irritating as the years have gone by.
And I think that speaks to the brand trust component that we talked about. You know, it's easy to find a company, a customer. In fact, it's actually the most expensive thing for a brand to do is find a brand new customer. The cost of acquisition, it's 10 times more expensive to find a new customer than it is to keep one. And our experience sort of shows that when you really look hard at how brands go about keeping their customers, if you looked up and down their marketing P&L, you'd find 95%+ of it spent on acquisition and about 5% maybe spent on retention. And that's if it's in some cases actually 100% spent on acquisition because they feel they need more customers. And what happens is they get so good at the finding and then the first thing they might do to a customer once they get on board is I'll send them a survey. one of the bits of research has said that over 50-odd% of the customers that were surveyed didn't receive any correspondence after their first transaction at all.
No, that happened to me recently too. Talking to Mark James, love your calls on this, customer loyalty, customer brands and all the rest of it, how all that area. Anything you got to say, please weigh in. Mark would love to hear your calls. We would, 96900 693 or 13 13 32 if you're out of town. We're going to take a break here. It's 14 past 8. 17 past 8, have the pleasure of talking to Mark James from Customology. And we've got some calls on the line for you, Mark. Israel wants to have a word. Hello, Israel.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening. Yeah, Mark, look, as far as the strategies that are implemented through those, you know, marketing departments, it's all about valuing the customer. However, I don't believe that there's any more loyalty. I believe given the world that we live in, loyalty has gone by the wayside. And it's what the consumer can get that's best on offer at the time. And if he's offered something better 3 hours later, he'll go with that.
Response there, Mark?
Well, sorry, I didn't catch a gentleman's name.
Israel.
Israel. Thanks for the comment there, Israel. Well, short answer is you're correct. The customers now have more choice than they've ever had before, and some would even argue less time. Many years ago, we had heaps of time and less choice. And there's so many different channels now for people to be communicated to. But I still think it comes down to what people value, and the value exchange is what people ultimately make their decision on. Now, what someone would determine as value versus what someone else might be obviously is only based on personal preference. But price and convenience certainly do weigh heavy on the decision making. So if something looks cheaper, I mean, I don't think you can buy a rug full price.
I don't think that's even possible. Where is a full priced Persian rug? I have never seen one.
Yeah, and then what brands kind of do is they've got a sale on this week, and then the customers are trained because they know there's a catalogue coming out next week. So they go, well, I'll just wait for the catalogue and then I'll go buy it cheaper again.
I've got to interrupt a bit there. I just can't believe that. I know someone who works in retail and they just can't believe how many sales are coming up every year. And that's what you talk about, that phenomenon of, well, the store's empty, half empty, and the week before the sale, then they're packed for the week of the sale, then back to half empty again.
Yeah. And I think, and to Israel's point, what happens is that the customer then goes, okay, well, I know I've got heaps of choice. I know I can buy it online. I can go in the store and check it out, and then I can shop around and get the best price guarantee. And that's why I think the opportunity for the brands is to... There's only two reasons that you'd give your information across, why a brand would want your information and to build a program of a relationship with you. And the first one is they'd want to continue a conversation with you, not to talk at you, but to talk to you. And the second reason is to influence some form of behavior. And that could be around educating you to the broader range of services that may offer. But what happens is brands will get your information And then instead of recognising you about the behaviour that you've done with them and recognising that and thanking you for that, typically what they'll do is they'll either send a survey or send you another deal. Sometimes brands, they might even market you a product you've just bought at a cheaper price after you've just bought it.
I know. Yes, that has happened to someone in my family too. Nicholas wants a word. Hello, Nicholas.
Good evening again, Andrew, and hello there, Mark. Andrew and Mark, I forgot to wish you both a Happy New Year yesterday with Andrew's call, so Happy New Year.
Thank you, Nicholas.
That's okay. I just wanted to ask Mark about, with brand loyalty, he touched on something very interesting there about how hard it is to get a new customer back or to a brand, especially a developing brand or an established brand. What I just wanted to ask Mark's opinion on was about how do brands look at customers that maybe were once loyal, have drifted away, but then either the customer themselves comes back or somehow something caught their eye? Because a quick brief story might be, I used to really like one of our favourite local car manufacturers who no longer manufactures here, which might narrow it down. I just happened to look out my window the other day and I saw this really interesting car, because the colour caught my eye, and I thought to myself, I know that badge, and originally it wasn't one of those models I was going to buy, but I looked at it and thought, that really caught my eye, and it just happened when I looked, you know, it up online on one of those major car websites, I won't say which name, but I looked it up and I thought, oh, it just turns out to be one not that far away that's for sale as a used demo model. So it's just interesting how those things sort of can, you know, reach out to you, especially if you once had that emotional tug for a brand. And, you know, that sort of thing. So that's what I'm asking about with brand loyalty. You know, customers that maybe once really felt emotional about a brand maybe come back, and how brands respond to that, whether that's because they reached out to people or even they themselves just decided to wander back and thought, you know what, I'll give it another shot.
I wonder how often that happens, Mark.
Look, it's a great point, and thanks for your question, Nicholas. When you're talking, and if I can just talk from a brand's perspective for a second, retention after a customer has left or disengaged or wasn't spending with them again, or the more technical term is, you know, they're churning or they're about to churn or leave the brand, it's actually too late. The customer's already kind of made up their mind, and what happens is a lot of brands, they start marketing to them differently with some form of incentive. Having a relationship with a customer and a brand is actually not too dissimilar having a relationship with a friend or a partner. If you've misbehaved and haven't treated them well, then once it's a little bit too late, you know, I'm not even sure any amount of counselling is going to help, you've decided to leave and you break up. But if the relationship starts right from the beginning and the conversation, instead of talking at them, starts better, then the longer-term relationship with the customer and the brand can be continued, can be nurtured. And that we find happens around information, recognition. Let me give you some examples. So you gave the example of the car before. So let's say you've bought this car and they might, instead of them saying, you know, thank you for your purchase and here's a survey, those sort of things are important. But they might want to keep you informed with how that brand is developing over time, how other people have brought that brand, how they've invested in it over the time. They've kept it, continued a conversation around information with you. And then each year they might want to do a check-in, an anniversary around that product, and there's some nostalgia value. Now, while you can't save them all, right, what you're doing is the ones that are genuinely engaged in the brand, they've got this idea that the brand cares about them, it's valued, it understands, it knows their customer, and as a result, the chance of having a better relationship over the long term through a nurture type of engagement can happen. But talking to someone after they left is very hard. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah, I can imagine that. That's not where you want to find yourself as a manufacturer or provider. Harry wants to have a word. Hello, Harry.
G'day, chaps. How are you going?
We're
hey,
good.
Harry.
Yeah, good.
A couple of questions. Loyalty is big to me. I'm on the wrong side of 50. And what annoys me is that every time you forget to do something, whether it's a day, a week, or a month, you always end up having to be on the phone for 2 hours. I'm speaking to a utility company here not that long ago to prove that you've been so loyal for the last 20 years. Now, to me, they should be able to go bang, bang, bang and say, shit, he is loyal, this bloke. So we should be able to keep him going. The other question is, too, I'd also like to say is, Mark, what do you do about utilities, mate? Do you jump in there and do you surf the net? Do you, you know, dump them and leave them as soon as you get a better deal? What personally do you do to keep your costs low?
Interesting there. Putting it back on you, Mark.
Yes. thank you, Barry, for your question. You know, I think probably to my further response about having a relationship with the customer earlier, some of these businesses have grown so big, and even though the way they manage their customer service is outsourced and they've gone to third parties or overseas and things like that, and to get information for you, it's very difficult. They're trying to push you online, solve problems online, and that doesn't necessarily suit every type of customer. I'm nearly on that side of 50. But I prefer to speak to someone to solve it. Can you help me, instead of pressing option two to jump through this and jump through that? I don't have a silver bullet or an answer for those brands, except if a customer that has been with someone cool for so long, they should be able to recognise that with the technology today, and then when they bring up their information after they do their questions, they should have all the information in front of them and make it easy for the customer. In relation to your other question about how I surf and look at things, well, interesting, telco has such a heavily commoditized offering out there. There's so much choice now. I'd encourage people to shop around. There's a lot of information, there's a lot of compare websites and things like that. But I think there's also equally an opportunity, and I think some of the brands are actually doing it better than the others in that space, and it's probably not appropriate to mention who, but I just recently had a success on one of my solar at home, and I had a success on my power bill. And the company knew what I spent with them the year before and actually congratulated me on getting such a reduced bill.
Really?
And I actually felt good. Yeah, I thought that was very clever.
Very nice.
And so that's what I'm saying, and it's interesting. When I looked at that, here's one of the really important point about loyalty. And I think sometimes people confuse loyalty with loyalty cards or some sort of thing. Loyalty comes when, now me, I've actually said that now, obviously, to your audience, but I've told two or three of my mates about it and said, hey, look at this. They just, my bill is half what it was last year, and they thank me for it. And they go, are they any good? I said, well, my bill's in half. So now I've told two of my mates, it didn't cost that brand anything except for saying thank you. So if you just look at the thinking that went behind that simple gesture that they did. And maybe they didn't even know what they're doing. As a result, now I'm their salesperson.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that does work. Yes, I had an aunt who used to spruik a particular brand of soup. I mean, we may laugh, but she had members of our family at least buying Campbell's cream of mushroom soup because she just loved it. It was always served if you went to her place. And it was very nice, very salty, but very nice. Mark, would
you... People like, Andrew, I was just going to say, people like Harry and your other listeners tonight, if they go to the Customology website, all that information is available to them free online. It's www.customology.com.au. That's Customology. And, mate, they can grab that report any time it's available to them.
Look, we've got a lot of calls to speak to you. Could you stay on a little longer, Mark?
Sure.
Terrific. Mark James is with us. CEO of Customology has just been talking about, and we're back after these. Yes, it is. And right now, having the pleasure of talking with Mark James, CEO of Customology, about customer loyalty and all those things and brands and tricks of brands they used to hold on to you and then sometimes ditch you if they don't want you anymore. We've got, well, no, not often, but occasionally. Mary, hello to you.
Hi, guys. Good evening. I just wanted to let people know that these utility companies, they all have special deals that they can offer that are not available online or with their normal customer service. So when you call up, if you tell them that you're leaving, ask for the retention area and they'll better the deal. Origin Energy is a great one for that. They can almost cut it, you know, huge amount off just to keep you as a loyal customer.
Agreed. That's good advice.
No argument there. I think, yes, the certain television services to provide that sort of alarm bells
indeed.
Go off if you threaten to end the subscription and people are called from all parts of the building to get on the phone and, shall we say, stroke you a little in the nicest areas. Thank you, Mary. Edo, hello to you.
Oh, hello. Yes, a couple of stories. Medibank big private. I used to like to pay them yearly so I could go up and grizzle personally into their face, you know. And so it's going up. I'm paying more and getting less and all that sort of stuff. And in the end, they made me a priority member, and a special priority phone number. And I only have to wait about 5 minutes instead of 10 or 15. So
brilliant.
A bit of a breakthrough there. The other story was the auto club, that Regal Auto Club. I rang in the back of a Porsche in South Yarra once. I remember the number plate, 928111. And he ran in another car. Somebody rang the cops. It was terrible. And he was a QC as well. Anyway, so we just swapped out. And then the rest of my time, I went back to the RACV. I'd been to Egypt. I hadn't paid. I put the bill aside because I'm not going to pay this. It's too expensive. I'll ring them up and complain. Egypt's got all about it. They said, look, Ed, you've missed out on a three-week period. So that was the thing, that was that. So I just sweated for weeks and then became months. And I thought, what's happened lately? Where's the QC? Anyway, I rang up a year later, sure as heck, so I said the same old thing. I'm getting less, I'm paying more. And he said, oh, hang on, I'll look up your account. He said, hang on, we paid out $17,000 for you last year. They didn't bother telling me they paid out on the Porsche and made me sweat about it. And I tell you what, I've stayed with those guys. I'm a member, not a number.
That's interesting, isn't it? Good to hear. And that's something good coming out of something rather bad there. Edo, thank you for your call. Matt, you're next.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
Hi, Matt. Long story short, the other day I had a flat battery in my car and a mate had a micro jump starter kit. So he came around, jump started my car, no problem. So then I went home, eBay, you know, Amazon, and searched for, you know, pricing and whatever. And what surprises me with social media, the following day, I'm on Facebook, and then all these sponsored ads come up for the product I was searching for.
I missed a bit of that, Matt. I'm sorry. I think your line faded in and out there a little bit. I think we got the gist of it, but thank you for the call. Yes, it's amazing what's out on Facebook too. Talking to Mark James. Mark, how loyal are you to certain products and services?
Well, I guess that's a good question. I mean, I'm a busy guy. I'm married, a beautiful wife, and two great kids, and run a business. And you know, life's pretty busy, and so I'm looking for brands that make it easy for me. So I'm as loyal as probably the next person. But what I am looking for is someone that's really thinking about my needs and my services, my want. It's not a customer's job to work out how to work with the brand. It's a brand's job how to work with their customers. Customers are people. They're not transactions. There's a term we use when we're looking at, you know, the best time to talk to a customer if you're a brand. We call that the money moon. And that's when you're going to make
I like
them.
That. Yes, go on.
You do. Yeah. It is actually the most interesting time. If brands spent more time working on what we call the money moon period and less time on the retention period, they'd actually get a better engagement with their customers, because that's when the customer's most likely to re-engage, most likely to refer, most likely to tell a friend and say, hey, this is a great thing. And I think for me, if brands take the time to understand and talk to me, just because they have my email, and I receive 15 messages a day and I'm only going to purchase once a year, is probably not the right way to have a relationship with me. So I think loyalty comes about how they easy they make it for me and understanding my lifestyle. But that money moon is a great time.
I got a feeling that younger consumers are less loyal than older ones. Does your survey or any of your research point that out?
Not. I would suggest that there'd be a level of accuracy to that, because probably more the engagement with multi-platforming, multi-devices, and the ability to consume information easier. That said, one of the things that have come out of the Big C, as in last year, is that we all had to get online and search for things differently than what we did before. So I think for brands now, today, is tougher than it's ever been in commercial history. And that, I'm not trying to make a sensational claim there, is because that more mature demographic has digitized themselves. They've bought online. They say it's okay to have goods delivered to their home, and they're comfortable with it. They put their credit card online. You know, who
yes,
would think?
Yes, that's a change from me. I'm in the mature category very much, Mark.
So and, I think it's changed a lot. This is now the new normal, and this is where the brands, I think, have got a really good opportunity to talk to their customers differently. And I think it's not the customer's job to work out how to work with them. It's on the brand.
Bronnie joins us next. Hello, Bronnie.
Oh, what a great conversation. I'm going to give you a bolt from the blue because I never buy home brand. I'm always reminded about how the supermarkets charged $1 for milk and how they screwed all our farmers. And if they're charging less for their product, which is tinned or whatever, and products, I believe someone's being screwed down the line, the person that's supplying to them. And so I will refuse to ever buy home brand.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought of that, Mark. There's an objection from a quarter I just wouldn't have conceived of. Thank you, Bronnie. What do you say, Mark, to that? I don't know. I rarely look for home brands, personally. I don't know about you.
Oh, look, I think, fit for purpose. And there's certainly nothing wrong with any of those sorts of products. And I know we don't have time tonight, but one of the big things about how the consumer today, so you've got price and quality, and then you move to sort of experience and convenience, and this is how value is determined. The one that has actually changed in this new market that's added to those first four is people's social benefit and social detraction. So they're saying, hey, listen, I can spend my money anywhere. If I feel, and that's about that trust, that loyalty, are they honest with me? Are they honest with the market? So the consumer's saying, you know what, I'm okay to pay $2 around the corner because this is how I feel. And they've got to pay attention to that. So I think there's more of a movement on that than ever before because the consumer is empowered and they can make that choice because there is choice.
Yes, there is much more than there was, say, 10, 20, 30 years ago.
Before,
yes, it's an amazing world we live in, and it becomes more and amazing every day. Mark James, thank you so much for your time. We've kept you on longer than I think we ever told you we're going to keep you on. But we had a lot of calls and want to talk to you, and it was a very interesting conversation. Hopefully we can speak again sometime.
Andrew, my phone is there for you, and I just want to say thank you for your listeners, and I wish them all the very best in the coming year, and I hope they have every success.
Mark James, CEO of Customology, customology.com.au for a free report, and they will zip it out to you.